T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. There's a guy who's on CNN who's from Baton Rouge, Don Lemon. He's the black guy who's also gay. And Don Lemon, a segment on his show the other night, made headlines yesterday because he had a couple of guests on and they were just laughing at, making fun of, and mocking everybody who voted for Donald Trump in the 2016 election. And it was something to see because, again, here's CNN. It's prime time, and you've got one of their hosts and two guests literally laughing out loud and making fun of about half the country. People who voted for Donald Trump, just basically how stupid they are and how ridiculous they are. I mean, openly laughing, and you're talking about half the country voted that way in the 2016 election. Well, evidently, they faced a lot of backlash over at CNN for that. And again, that was two nights ago. And now Don Lemon, again, a Louisiana native, a guy who happens to be black and gay, he addressed the backlash that they got. Because, I mean, think about it. And for him to be laughing at someone because of who they voted for, I mean, that would just be like anybody laughing at him because he's black or because he's gay. You know, a guy who is just flat out laughing at people because of who they voted for and making fun of them, that would be like making fun of Don Lemon because he's black and because he's gay. Right? Wouldn't that be the same thing?
It'll be similar.
So when the backlash hit CNN, Don Lemon took to the defensive last night. He said, quote, "This is personally important for me to address this, okay? Ask anyone who knows me. They'll tell you I don't believe in belittling people, belittling anyone for who they are, what they believe, or where they're from." During an interview the other night, one of my guests said something that made me laugh. And while in the moment, I found that joke humorous, and I didn't catch everything that was said. Now, remember, I mean, this guy openly despises the president. And he said, "Just to make it perfectly clear, I was laughing at the joke and not any group of people."
But the joke was about the group of people.
Yeah, he and the two other panelists were laughing out loud at the president and anybody who voted for him.
It's weird. He says all right. So he says he doesn't mock anybody for their personal beliefs, but that's literally all CNN's programming from midnight to midnight. It's all them just bashing people.
Yeah, they despise the president of the United States and whatever. I mean, look, everybody has their own personal right, whether you like the president, whether you hate the president, and that's okay. That's what's one of the great things about living in the United States of America. You know, but when you say you're a news station, a news station should be balanced. It shouldn't be all one way. And they definitely shouldn't be just openly laughing out loud at every American who voted for the president that they don't like. So he had to come out yesterday and say, let me clear this up. But that didn't really wash, because again, they were literally laughing out loud. You know, LOL, you see people on social media that they type in LOL a lot. Mm-hmm. These three guys, Don Lemon and his two guests, were literally laughing out loud at all Americans who voted for Donald Trump.
He might have gotten some feedback, maybe some backlash, but you notice nobody's trying to cancel him, like if it was the other side doing the same exact thing too.
Wow. But the reason I brought this up is because I just thought, I mean, here's a guy, he's gay and he's black, and how many people, you know, in history have laughed out loud at gay black people? And I'm not saying that's right. That's wrong to do so, but it was wrong for them to just laugh out loud the other night at every American who voted for a guy that they don't like. I just thought, especially coming from CNN, a news station,
just in general, I find it okay to laugh at anybody and everybody if it's funny. Like if you're at a comedy show or if you're hanging out with your buddies, but this was on a news network.
And there was no joke that was told. They were just laughing.
They were kind of belittling, like some of the things were jokey. And if you were, if you do believe like they believe, I can see why they would find it funny. The thing is, like, it's that weird dichotomy. Like, I heard it. Some of the jokes, I get it. You know what I mean? I didn't laugh at it per se. But like you said, it's half the voters. And being that it's a news network and it's supposed to be prestigious, that's the only thing I think kind of, if it was Comedy Central, this thing could have flew and everybody would have laughed at most of these jokes. Yeah, if it was Stephen Colbert, a late night talk show, Jon Stewart.
But you knew what they were doing. Yeah. They were belittling about half the country because they voted for a guy who they don't like. So
and that's what Comedy Central does. That's what Comedy Central does all the time.
But there's a big difference. Comedy Central is Comedy Central. Yeah. This is CNN. They're supposed to be.
That's the only difference in this. That's what makes it kind of awkward, because if it was Jimmy Kimmel, if it was Stephen Colbert, if it was James Gordon or whatever, it just flew right by. Everybody would have laughed. They got it, you know.
Hey, coming up next, we'll tell you why the mayor of New Orleans, LaTuita Cantrell, does not want the city council to look into the company and to look into the collapse of the partially built, partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel. She does not want the city council to investigate that. And we'll tell you why coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. So our history-making mayor here in the city of New Orleans, LaTuita Cantrell, I know her name's LaToya, but I call her LaTuita because she loves Twitter. She tweets all the time, she retweets, she likes things, and she's made all kinds of news the last couple of days, because the city council, where she came from, before she was mayor, she was a New Orleans city councilor. But the city council wants to investigate the situation at the partially collapsed, partially built Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street. It's been a big pile of rubble now for almost 4 months with two dead bodies still in it. when that collapsed, three people were killed, and two of the people are still up there. And last week, we saw the legs of one of the dead men when a tarp blew off. And I remember that show last week. Man, I'm always in a good mood when I come in here, and even if I'm not, some things are going on in my life, whatever the case may be, when I come on into the radio station to do a radio show, I want to be happy. I want to be fun. We want to tell jokes, talk about all kinds of different things. Last Wednesday, though, oof, I was not happy. All I could think about were not only the poor dead guys, but their family members, their relatives, the people that love them. Really, there's the legs dangling over the side of the building there almost 4 months after this collapse. Well, anyways, the city council wanted to open up a big investigation and look into it and find out what happened, what's going on. And she, the mayor, LaTuita Cantrell, is saying, no, don't do that. We don't need you to do that.
Why would she do such a thing?
There's only two reasons, Coleman, I can think of.
Okay.
She doesn't want them to find out anybody at City Hall, the idiot box, did anything wrong when it came to maybe looking the other way if the company who was building the hotel, if they didn't go through all of the proper measures, if they didn't get the proper licenses, if they maybe went around and committed some sort of illegal act to avoid having to have all the proper things that they needed, which it looks like they didn't, because that's why the building collapsed. She didn't want any, in my opinion, if someone at City Hall, which she's in charge of, the idiot box, if someone there did something wrong, who knew? Maybe took a bribe, maybe to let the company not have to go through everything legally that they needed to go through. Maybe she doesn't want the city council investigating because she doesn't want to see any wrongdoing by anybody underneath her at the idiot box who works at City Hall. And that was the first reason I thought of. And the second reason I thought of, maybe she's connected to the company. who's building this? Well, come to find out, the Hard Rock developers have contributed about $70,000 to Mayor LaTuita Cantrell and her political action committee. So they're big Cantrell donors and supporters. So that could be a reason as well. But you would think if something so disastrous happened, like the partially built Hard Rock Hotel on Canal Street collapsing while it was being built, killing three people, and then almost 4 months later, the two of the dead bodies are still in there, and the building still looks the same.
The two things that
I would want everybody to look into every angle. If I was in charge, if I was the mayor, I would want everybody to look into every angle to find out why this happened, so it obviously could never happen again. But now the developers of that Hard Rock hotel have contributed about $70,000 to her and her political action committee.
So the two things that stand out to me is, if the city council has the power to investigate this situation, what took them so long? Like, this has been going on since October. You know,
almost 4 months?
Yeah, so all of a sudden now they decide, you know what? We maybe should look into this. If they had the power to look into whatever it is, they should have did it as soon as possible, as soon as the crane demolition didn't go too well. Second, even if the city council wanted to investigate it, why would LaToya publicly say, no, don't worry about it? Or did she publicly say it?
Oh, yeah.
She said it.
She said it publicly.
Politically,
that's
not even a smart move on her part. You would want to be like, yeah, sure, we need all the help we can get. Come investigate. Please help.
I would want anybody who wants to investigate, if they could find out a reason why this happened, to investigate. I would want, if I were in charge, I would want everybody in,
exactly.
who wants to investigate, investigate. And so, anyways, that's the latest on that. It looks kind of shady. As a matter of fact, it looks very shady.
All right. Well, at face value is the fact that the Hard Rock people donate to a super PAC illegal. Like, is that really, like, a crust was what made me hesitant of why we do something with the collapsed site just because they donate to her super PAC prior to this? Or?
I'm just bringing it up.
Yeah.
But again, why wouldn't someone who's in charge, the mayor, why wouldn't she want everybody looking into this, investigating this?
It'll be interesting to see her reasoning behind it, you know?
Because she's been mayor now, what, a year, however long, 2 years going. This right here is the biggest. This is, in my opinion, is defining her first tenure, her as mayor of New Orleans.
Yeah.
So far, so I just thought that was a bit shady. If you do too, or if you don't, if you think I'm crazy, and you think it's okay for the mayor to tell the city council, do not investigate this. Text us. What do you think about this? Do you agree with me? Very shady, or am I off base here? Text us at 504-260-9595. Keep them short and sweet. Put either your first name or your initials at the end of the text, and if it's good, we'll read it on the air, and please do not text while you're driving.
And standard data and message rates apply.
Coming up on the show, there's a new line of Barbie dolls out. But we've never seen Barbie dolls like this before. Some of them have hair loss. Some of them have skin conditions. I saw one in a wheelchair, and it comes with the actual wheelchair. Stay tuned. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. We were talking about how our mayor, LaTuita Cantrell, does not want the New Orleans City Council to investigate what happened. The Hard Rock Hotel collapse as it was being built. And she's made that known. She does not want the city council investigating that. And that just had me scratching my head. And, you know, maybe she doesn't want them to find during their investigation that someone in City Hall over there where she works, the idiot box, someone didn't do their job, or someone might have been paid off to let them cut some corners while they were building this, or someone looked the other way, or whatever the case may be. Thought it was either that or the fact that the developers of the Hard Rock Hotel have contributed about $70,000 to her and her political action committee, to her campaign and her political action committee. And that's not right. If I was in charge, if I was mayor, I would want anybody who wanted to investigate why that partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapsed over there. And, I think that's pretty shady, and I asked you to text us if you thought that that was wrong as well, or if you thought that I was wrong for thinking that. What do we got, Coleman?
Warren says, "No, John, you're not crazy. It's very shady." Antoine says, "Yes, you're crazy like a fox, and it's definitely shady." This texter says, "Yes, indeed. I would say you're spot on. LaTuita is hiding something. A typical politician." This text says, "Impeach Cantrell."
Well, much like I don't know if I don't think they have the votes here to impeach the history-making LaTuita Cantrell. Much like up in Washington, D.C., with the impeachment that's going on the Senate side with the Republicans, they lead the Senate. I don't know if I don't know if they're going to have the votes to impeach the president.
We're processing all this right now, just from the last segment. Here's my conspiracy. Now that we know that the Hard Rock donated to LaTuita's campaign in our super PAC, that may have something to do with the buildings that they want to get demolished, and maybe they're trying to do a sideways deal to where Hard Rock can acquire those properties as well. So if they do redevelop this, the collapse into something, once they demolish the building, they got to get rid of the building first, but I think Hard Rock is trying to acquire those properties that they want to.
Well, there was one plan that said when they do demolish, that they want to take down a couple of the buildings right next to them there.
Yeah.
Where the site is, yeah.
Right, so the company that owns Hard Rock also wants those properties for whatever reason. I think, but the collapse wasn't in a plan, but they still have to fix that part first.
Hmm. Interesting. Thank you for your texts. Coming up, Hubig's Pies are coming back. We haven't had Hubig's Pies in a long time since where they made the pies in the Marigny burnt down. But it looks like we're going to be having Hubig's Pies pretty soon. And it's pretty exciting. You know, you could get those things everywhere, and they were fantastic. Big Hubig's Pie fan. We'll give you the details on when we should expect them back, because they're coming. And that's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So Barbie dolls are making headlines over the last day or so because they've launched a bunch of new Barbie dolls. And I'm looking at these Barbie dolls, and they have different things wrong with them. They have different conditions, and evidently Barbie, the company that makes Barbie dolls, they want to be more diverse. They want to include everybody. And some of the issues that these new Barbie dolls have, one of them, the Barbie doll has hair loss. One of them, the Barbie doll has something called vitiligo.
That's what Michael Jackson had. It's a skin disease.
Vitiligo?
Yeah, vitiligo. It turns your darker pigment of the skin white.
See, Coleman, I had a, when I saw that this new Barbie doll has vitiligo, I had to go and Google vitiligo. I didn't know what it meant. And you're right. It causes loss of skin color.
Mm-hmm.
And blotches.
Yeah. And with the hair loss Barbie doll, most Barbie dolls from the 80s already had hair loss. You know, most of the kids took scissors to them and made their own hair loss Barbie dolls.
Well, Barbie's doing this because, again, they want to be more diverse. They want to be more inclusive. And that's why they're doing this. There's one Barbie I saw. She's in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I'm looking at him now. Yeah.
And so Mattel is the company who makes Barbie dolls, but they're releasing a bunch of new Barbie dolls. Evidently, Barbie has been taking some heat for a few years now, because there's been a bunch of people who have said, look at these Barbie dolls. You know, girls, they can't be like that. These Barbie dolls forever, for the longest time, they were perfect. Look at how skinny they are. Everything about them is perfect. You know, that's not fair to give these Barbie dolls to girls, because then girls think that's what they're supposed to look like. And then
that has to only be a girl thing. I remember when I was coming up, I grew up playing with He-Man and Thundercats. They were very bulk. I played Ninja Turtles, but I never looked at a Ninja Turtle and said, wow, why don't they make a turtle that looks like me? Or why don't they make a He-Man?
Well, that's how some people, now they have She-Man. you used to play with He-Man. I'm looking at this one Barbie right here, Coleman. She's got one leg, and she's got a prosthetic leg.
Oh, okay. It has to be. I'm just saying, a girl. Like, have you ever looked at a He-Man toy? I can't look like He-Man no matter how hard I try, no matter how many push-ups I do, no matter how many squats or deadlifts, I'm never going to look like He-Man, but it never bothered me. I never looked at He-Man and played with him and said, you know what? He doesn't represent my body type. They need to make him more realistic.
You know, didn't they say that they wanted a Ken doll to be gay? Didn't they say
that?
They
got one. I was looking at the pictures.
Do they have a gay Ken doll? Well, how do you know he's gay?
No.
And you can't just say, we're making a gay Ken doll now because, and then he has some outfit where he's wearing all leather and he has a big mustache. Or, I mean, you can't do that, because wouldn't that be stereotyping?
No, here's what they did. So there is a homosexual Ken doll, but what they did was they put him in a package with another man and they're both wearing wedding tuxedos. So it's a package deal. They both come in the same package. So it looked like one has a bouquet and one has a ring. So
what if I only wanted one Ken doll?
Then you just get the regular Ken doll.
I'd have to buy the two of them because they're a couple?
Yeah, you would have to buy the Village People version of Ken if you want it that way. But yeah, I'm looking at it right here. There's an overweight Barbie. And nothing's wrong with that on Mattel's part.
Is that big Barbie?
Yeah, there's a big Barbie too. There's the Lizzo-sized Barbie. But nothing's wrong with Mattel making that decision. To me, it's more like, why do girls care that much that they have a doll that represents them? Like, why is it important to them to have a Barbie doll?
No, like I said, Mattel's doing this because they want to be more diverse. They want to be more inclusive. But boy, I mean, there's so many different ailments out there. They're going to have to make a ton. I mean, I just gave you an example of the Barbie dolls they're making now, but they're going to have to keep going. I mean...
Yeah, they're going to have anorexic Barbie with the ribcage hanging out.
I mean, vitiligo.
Vitiligo.
Vitiligo. Yeah, I had to go look it up. If they're going to... Vitiligo, I mean, they're just scratching the surface with conditions and diseases and things that are wrong with people that they're going to have to make Barbie dolls have.
I bet you in 4 years they're going to make emotional support animals for Barbies, too. They're going to have ducks and dogs to go along with them. Because, I mean, they already got the wheelchair and the dream houses. Why not just go all out?
Yeah, and again, I think it's great that Mattel, they want to be more inclusive. They want to try to include everybody and be diverse. That's all well and good. But there are tons of different ailments and tons of different things that are wrong with people. I'm sure we're going to get to the point where it's going to be hard to find just the quote-unquote regular Barbie doll that so many people grew up with because people have issues with that perfection of a woman.
Here's my favorite one. I just seen this one. It's an astronaut Barbie, but it's a woman with a hijab. It's a Muslim astronaut Barbie. I think that's my favorite one so far.
The Muslim astronaut Barbie?
Yeah, she has a hijab on and she's smiling. She looks like Omar. And she has an astronaut helmet on.
The congresswoman you're talking about, yeah.
So that's the most creative one I've seen so far. But
interesting. All right, coming up on the show, Hubig's Pies. They're coming back. Don't know exactly when, but we have a real good idea. A New Orleans institution. We'll tell you about it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. So some great news. Hubig's Pies, they're going to be back at some point this year. The goal is to have that New Orleans institution back sometime this summer.
Yeah!
That's the goal. You might remember Hubig's Pies, they've been around forever, and they were made here in New Orleans until... their original factory in the Marigny burnt down in July 2012. So if they get up by July 2020, that'll be 8 years we've been without that New Orleans institution.
It doesn't seem that long. It seems like it's fresh, like it just happened recently. But
I'll tell you, when the Hubig's Pie building burnt. Caught fire and burnt in 2012. That was the best smelling fire in the Marigny that they can remember. People were just running over there. They were sad. They were sad that, oh no, the Hubig's Pie factory's building is burning down. But man, smell that. Is that apples? Peach? What is that? And so they're going to reopen, but they're reopening in Jefferson Parish. They've got a building right near the Huey Long Bridge.
Okay.
Right just off of Jefferson Highway there. It's a nondescript warehouse, but that's where they're going to be making the Hubig's Pies. I absolutely love that stuff. The apple is my favorite. Sometimes they make the blueberry. And sometimes the chocolate pie is really good.
Now, I might could do the chocolate one, but the fruit ones. I don't really like those, like apple pies and stuff like that, fruit-filled ones.
You don't like that?
Nah,
I love pies. That stuff.
It's a weird texture, like the crust, and then you get to the gooey stuff in the middle.
Mm. But you got me thinking about them. And the great thing about those, they were available everywhere. You could have gone into any gas station and gotten a Hubig's Pie. You could have gotten them pretty much anywhere. And they say that it's going to be just like it was. The pies are going to taste just like they did, and They'll be a little bit more expensive. I think when the fire happened, they were $1.19 each. And so add 8 years of inflation, and they'll probably be a little more expensive. But
still in the cool little packaging, a little paper with the yellow stripes.
Yeah, they're going to look the same. They're going to taste the same, and hopefully, again, this is the Ramsey family, the next generation owners of Hugh Big's Pie. It's just the latest generation. They're going to pick up from where they left off. It took them a while, but Hugh Big's Pies. We'll be back, and their goal is this summer. Oh, that's great news. I love that stuff. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck, and we hope you'll hang out with us for that report here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. It's time for us now to look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 29th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1977. Roots premieres on television. A groundbreaking television program. 8-episode miniseries, and it came from the book.
By Alex Haley.
Yeah, and it was broadcast, Coleman, over 8 consecutive nights, and it followed a family from its origins in West Africa through generations of slavery and the end of the Civil War. And that television show showed many Americans something that they had heard about and obviously read about, but to see it, it really shook the country.
Two facts about that movie. One, when I was about 9, my mom made me read the entire Alex Haley book. It was about a book about the size of a dictionary, and she sat there and made me read it. Two, you actually met LeVar Burton a couple of times. Oh, once, right?
I did. Well, yeah. LeVar Burton, and he was main star in that. He played Kunta Kinte. He, for the last several years, I don't know if he still does it, but he works on the television show NCIS New Orleans. He's one of the behind-the-camera guys. I happened to be in a bar about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he comes in and sits right next to me, and I looked at him. I knew who it was right away. Started talking to him. One of the nicest guys I ever talked to.
Yeah, he is a nice guy. You know, I remember him from Roots, Reading Rainbow, and, of course, Star Trek TGN.
Yeah, but never call him Toby.
Never.
Don't call him that. January 29th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today. In 1958, actor Paul Newman married Joanne Woodward. And why is that a big deal? That Hollywood marriage lasted until he died. And, I mean, Paul Newman was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and you hear all kinds of stories about people in Hollywood. But there's a guy, and I had met him before, too. I'd met him a couple of times. And, not only a real nice guy, but look what he went on to do with his Newman's Own food products, where 100% of the money raised all went to charity. Okay. And that was the Newman's Own salad dressings, Newman's Own microwave popcorn, Newman's Own, all kinds of. And I believe it's still out there, and it's still making money for charities. One of the good guys.
That's pretty cool.
In Hollywood. And yeah, for a marriage like that, they got married today in 1958, and they stayed married for 30, 40 years, whatever, until he died. 40 years. Pretty cool. January 29th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1964. The movie Dr. Strangelove premiered. One of Stanley Kubrick's movies. It was a black comic masterpiece. Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, opened up in movie theaters to both critical and popular acclaim. Coleman, you ever see that movie, Dr.
No.
Strangelove?
No. I've seen Dr. Strange, but not Dr. Strangelove.
That's a good movie. And finally, January 29th.
Why today doesn't suck.
I didn't know this. It was today in 1983... where Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac married someone named Kim Anderson. And they were only married for 1 year. They got married today in 1983, but they split in 1984. I never knew that Stevie Nicks was married because I have seen her in interviews talk about her life and her career, saying how she chose her career over her personal life. The fact that she was in Fleetwood Mac, such a huge band, she did that instead of getting married and having children, because she never had any children. I didn't know she was married for 1 year.
I was very young that year. Is Kim a girl or a boy?
No. Kim Anderson was a man.
All right, so there was a guy named Kim that married a woman named Stevie.
That's right.
Interesting.
And who knew? And she says she's never going to... I just saw another interview with her recently. She says she's never going to get married, but who knew? I didn't know she was married for 1 year, and she got married today in 1983. All right. Coming up on the show.
Wait, you got to wrap it up?
Oh, yeah. That's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, the Bayou Country Superfest is going to be no more, at least for a while. You know, for a lot of years, they had it at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. And then the last, a couple of years, they had it here in the Superdome in New Orleans. But they just said that they're going on hiatus until further notice. And I don't know if it's lack of ticket sales. I don't know. Why can't they replace that with a rock show? Bunch of rock bands like they had country acts. We'll tell you about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. You know, Rush there, and there are still a lot of people I see on social media that are still talking about Neil Peart, their drummer who died a couple of weeks ago now. The shock that a lot of people had, because Neil Peart didn't tell anybody except his close family and friends that for the last 3.5 years he had been battling brain cancer. And he was always a very private guy, besides being one of the greatest drummers who ever lived. He's always on people's list when you talk about the greatest rock drummers of all time. They always say Neil Peart from Rush. And he was also the band's lyricist. And I remember we talked a little bit about him on the show the day after he died. You know, as a white suburban American kid in the 80s, which I was, I mean, Rush, that was, that was for us. He was talking to us. He was, the music was so awesome. And seeing him in concert when I was young and just all the memories that Rush brought back. And people are still talking about it. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, I know people die and famous people die all the time, but this one is sticking with me because he meant a lot to a lot of people that were into his band's music, especially at certain different points in life, coming up in high school, and the woman who gets credit for getting Rush, for finding Rush and getting them their record deal. She was a disc jockey at the time in Cleveland, Ohio, and her name is Donna Halper. And the reason I brought that up, she taught at my college. I had a class with her.
Okay.
She was a professor at my college when I was in college, and she would always tell the stories, the old Rush stories. But she's been seen a lot on social media since Neil Peart's passing. Her name's Donna Halper. She's been writing a bunch of stuff about them.
So you went to college, is what you're telling me?
Oh, I did.
Well, oh, you did?
Yeah, right. For 2 years. I went to junior college.
Oh, okay. And she was a professor of?
Communication.
Ah, all right. That makes sense then. Okay. All right. I never knew that.
Well, go figure. I mean, I majored in communication arts.
Yeah.
And here's a woman that was a famous disc jockey in Cleveland, Ohio, who started playing the Rush song from their first album, and because she started playing it, it got them a huge record deal and it got them going. And then years later, I'm in a classroom with this woman who was a DJ at a rock station, and boy, you know, if you could make a living doing that, that'd be pretty fun. Now, yeah, I started in college.
Yeah.
On the college radio station, and that was a good time.
Pretty, it makes sense. I went to Delgado Community College, but it wasn't in communication. I think it was in like math or sign language or something.
You think?
I don't remember.
Your major was, you don't remember
what
you majored in?
Yeah, that's back when I started, you know, I was older. I started becoming old enough to drink and I loved it and it's been a blur ever since.
I got you, Coleman. Hey, so quickly, the Bayou Country Superfest, which for many years happened at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, and then the last couple of years, I know it happened at the Superdome here in New Orleans, where they'd have they just have a bunch of country artists play. They just announced yesterday that they're going on hiatus until further notice. The Bayou Country Superfest, that music festival, will not take place this year or for the foreseeable future. It had been going on for 10 years, actually. And after 10 years, it's going on hiatus. I don't know if it's because maybe ticket sales weren't as big as they were when it first started, or I don't know if it's because they're not getting the acts that they used to get, the bigger name. I have no idea.
It's fun to speculate, though. From what I'm hearing from country fans, country music just isn't the same anymore. They really harp on Luke Bryan for saying Luke Bryan's not really country music and is, you know, like a version of hip-hop and country together. They call it hip-hop for some reason. And it's sort of like country music starting to become more like popular music instead of like the generic country music. So that could have something to do with it, too.
Well, if that's the case, why don't we have the this was called the Bayou Country Superfest. Why don't we get behind a rock fest, the Bayou 95.7 Rock Fest?
I'll make a note of it. I'll see what we can do.
You know, and we can grab a bunch of bands and do a rock fest like they used to do the country fest.
Well, I have noticed 2020 is a busy year for classic rock bands, though. You know, you have the Stadium Tour coming up. You have Jazz Fest coming up. So who will we be able to get that's available? I know David Lee Roth is available. Aerosmith is probably available.
Well, they've been having a rough few weeks, those two you just mentioned. That'd be cool, though, if we could, instead of the Bayou Country Superfest, do the Bayou 95.7 Rock Fest. That would be a lot of fun. I'm not the biggest country fan. The old country I like. Mm-hmm. Some of the old Johnny Cash and the old Merle Haggard, the old Hank Williams, like some of the old country I like, but I'm not a big fan of this latest stuff like you just described.
Yeah, I think my favorite rock song is Cotton Eye Joe by the Rednecks.
For your country rock song?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Coleman? All right. Coming up on the show, our mayor, LaTuita Cantrell, she is fighting the city council. Because they want to investigate what happened with the partially built Hard Rock Hotel collapse. And she's saying no, she doesn't want them to investigate. Whoa, why is that? That looks kind of shady, doesn't it? Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Police are one of my favorites. And Coleman, I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't know if you were here before, but that was their biggest song they ever had.
Oh, you meant the band Police?
Yeah, the Police.
Oh, okay.
That was the biggest song they ever had, Every Breath You Take.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I don't think that song could be released today.
Exactly.
Because if you listen to the words, it's all about stalking someone. I'll be watching you, everything you do. I'm going to be following you. I'll be stalking you. And with the hashtag MeToo movement and the hashtag Time's Up movement and all of these different movements, I don't know if the biggest song the Police ever had in their career would fly today.
It probably wouldn't. It does sound creepy, though. You know, I guess maybe back when this song was released, that was considered romantic, like watching and stalking everybody. And my big gripe with it is, why are you stalking this woman? Just go up and talk to her. Stop stalking. Stop watching her. Just, hey, you know what? I've been watching you. I think you're attractive. What's your phone number? But he wants to follow every breath she takes and all that. It sounds kind of creepy.
And you're talking about Sting, and we've had Sting on the show before. And the drummer of that band, Stuart Copeland, nobody ever talks about him. We were talking about Neil Peart earlier. Nobody ever talks about Stuart Copeland, about being one of the great drummers in rock and roll. That guy is a fantastic drummer. sick drummer, but nobody ever talks about the great Stuart Copeland from The Police. So the coronavirus is still making headlines. The latest on the coronavirus, and there's a bunch of people in this country that are freaking out. They think they have the coronavirus because the flu is going around. It's flu season. Yeah, it's late January. It's flu season. And there are lots of people around here. I see a lot of my friends on social media and all over the country saying our house has got the flu. You know, the flu is in our house. You know, the husband has it. The wife has it. The kids have it. Everybody has it, and you know that happens. That doesn't mean it's the coronavirus, though. People are freaking out, though. And every few years, isn't there some third world virus that freaks us out? I remember it was Ebola.
Yep. SARS, swine flu,
SARS,
avian flu. Every year there's something new.
Yeah. But yet we have the regular flu here in this country, and that makes a lot of people sick every year, and that kills people every year. But the latest with the coronavirus, and again, this has nothing to do with Mexico, Corona, beer. It's just the name of it, the coronavirus. This is coming from China. It's coming from Asia. If you don't want to be confused, just call it the Kung Flu.
Paya!
Although I don't know if that's politically correct or not. I actually saw a woman on a YouTube video with a surgical mask on, pouring a 12-pack of Corona beer down her kitchen sink drain.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
I think she lived in Alabama. And she's pouring Corona beer down. It has nothing to do with the beer. It's in China. It has something to do with people eating cats and dogs and bats and some of the things that they eat over there communist China. But the latest, they said it just exceeded the SARS epidemic. The death toll now over there is 132 people, and they say the coronavirus has reached more than 6,100 people. And there are, when something like this happens on a world stage, there are a lot of people in America who get freaked out.
It's amazing how when you hear the word Corona now, that the first thing we think of is the beer from Mexico, when the Corona is actually like the outside lighting part of the sun. When I heard coronavirus, that's the first thing I thought of, but I'm a nerd like that.
But I remember when you were getting sick on Saturday morning after we went out Friday night, you were throwing up, you told me, and you thought you might have had the coronavirus.
No, that was the Jägermeister virus. That's what I had.
Either the Jäger virus or the Yingling virus, but it was not the coronavirus. Coming up next, we got to tell you about the 9-year-old boy from Louisiana who is breaking records. And I mean world records. We'll tell you what these records are in. And this 9-year-old boy from Louisiana is becoming really famous. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. A 9-year-old from Louisiana, from Minden, Louisiana, is making not only national news, but I think this is, he's making world news. I think this news is going all over the globe because he's breaking records. And I see it everywhere. The story I've got in front of me is from CNN.com. They're talking about him. He's breaking powerlifting records when it comes to weightlifting. He can deadlift more than twice his own body weight. He's 9. You know, some kids, it's incredible when you see some kids, really young children, who can do incredible things. Coleman, you and I have a mutual friend, and one of his sons
is going to take over the world.
Is so smart. Yeah. He was playing the piano at 5 years old. And I mean, he was playing it. He knew what he was doing. And now he's a little bit older than that. He's a whiz on the piano. And you put any electronic gadget in front of him and he'll figure it out.
I've seen it in action. Yes.
You could tell some kids, you can tell they've got a gift. They were born with something that most of us were not born with. You can tell. Well, this 9-year-old boy from Minden, Louisiana, his name is Tate Fegley. Right now, because he's 9, he may stand at just 4 feet, 7 inches tall, and he weighs in at 103 pounds. But he's already proving to be a force to be reckoned with when it comes to powerlifting, in the world of powerlifting weights. With a deadlift of 230 pounds, he bench presses 92 pounds.
Wow.
And he can squat 190 pounds. 9-year-old, he's 9. Tate Fegley from Minden, Louisiana, is crushing all kinds of records. He started training about a year and a half ago. I guess when he was 7 and a half. But he's already broken 4 American records for his age and weight class. A couple of weeks ago at a state competition here in Louisiana, he broke the records for the squat, bench press, deadlift, and total weight lifted all in one day. He broke all of those, world records, all in one day.
That's pretty impressive. Like the bench pressing, especially for his size. Now, he actually has me beat on the squats. You know, for 9 years old, I don't think I can squat that much. The bench press, I'm a little bigger than him, so, you know, I can, by my relative weight, I can bench more than him. But by his body size, he actually is stronger than me because he's picking up more than his body weight, you know?
He's 9.
Yes, he's 9 years old.
I mean, if you're listening right now, I mean, I know I can speak for myself. There are some mornings I have a tough time just getting out of bed. I don't know if you can relate to that, but this 9-year-old kid from Minden, remember his name. Tate Fegley. His parents say he just wants to keep going. His parents don't push him. When he was off for school this past summer, he hits the gym every morning at 7. Now he works out after school. And some of his workouts go up to 3 hours a day. And his parents say this is what he wants to do. They don't push him towards this. But he's obsessed with powerlifting. And we've now got a 9-year-old in the state of Louisiana that we got to keep our eye on and remember his name, Tate Fegley, because he's already breaking world records when it comes to powerlifting weights.
You know what? See, right now he's 9, so you got 9, 10, 11. I hope he stays committed to it once he hits puberty. You know, once he hits puberty, you start to focus on women a little bit more. You start getting that testosterone, and you start to get those hormones coming in. So hopefully the puberty age doesn't distract him from focusing on his workout regimen.
I wonder how many child prodigies were ruined once puberty came by.
Exactly.
By all of a sudden they started noticing girls walking down the...
I was one of them. Back when I was in school, I was always putting gifted, talented classes. I was always putting honors classes. I was always putting more grades before me. But once I hit high school age and I hit puberty, I started failing tests. Now I'm here.
You went back with the rest of us. Yeah. How about that? All right. Well, remember that kid. He's making Minden and all of Louisiana proud. Way to go, Tate Fegley, 9 years old. Breaking world records already when it comes to powerlifting. Coming up on the show, we'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Good morning. And since it's 8:35, this is the time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man tried to carjack undercover cop. Man, we have a difficult time getting out of the state of Florida when it comes to this segment, the dumbest thing I read all morning. A St. Petersburg, Florida man who was running from the police tried to carjack an undercover cop. He didn't know that the car that he tried to carjack was an undercover cop car, and there was an undercover cop sitting in the undercover cop car. 20-year-old Donald Dugray,
you idiot,
was arrested on multiple charges, including attempted carjacking. Here's what happened. They try to stop him. He was on his bicycle the other night. So he's driving down the street on his bicycle, and the cops try to stop him because they said he had a light violation.
On his bicycle?
On his bicycle.
Oh, my God.
The cops wanted to stop him. They tried to stop him that night for a light violation.
So the bike didn't have reflectors on it like a regular bike. It had the cops expected them to have electric lights on the bike?
All it says, Coleman, is a light violation.
Okay.
On a bicycle. But he didn't want to be stopped. So he took off. And then he crashed his bicycle into a sergeant's cruiser.
Paya!
When Dugray hit the ground, a gun fell out of his waistband. See, now we're starting to know why he didn't want to stop for the light violation. So the gun fell out of his waistband, according to the police report. He then picked up the gun and ran away from police. He then tossed the gun onto the roof of a nearby diner. Cops later recovered that gun. As he was running from the police, an undercover officer was moving into the area to help. As the officer opened the door of his vehicle, Dugray grabbed it and leaned into it as if he was attempting to get into the vehicle and pull the officer out. The officer hit Dugray with the door of his car and then pulled his gun on him. At that point, other officers caught up to Dugray and took him into custody, but not before he violently resisted arrest. I mean, think about it. Just a few minutes ago, this guy was enjoying a bicycle ride down the street on a nice night in Florida. And then the next thing you know, all of this happened because a cop wanted to pull him over because he had a light violation
on
his bicycle.
That's what I think the dumbest part of the story is. Like, how bored are you in Florida? You're in Florida. So how bored are you with all this stuff going on in Florida that you have to, hey, that guy on that bicycle is violating a light. So I don't know if the guy was missing a headlight or a taillight, or maybe he had one of those bikes with the little lights on the tires that they, you know how you see those bikes in New Orleans and they all had them little LED lights on them. Maybe that was the violation, but you're in Florida. There's a lot of stuff you could be doing.
Well, to you, that might be the dumbest part of the story, Coleman, the Florida police trying to pull over a guy on a bicycle because of a light violation. But to me, the dumbest part of the story is the guy tried to carjack an undercover cop with the undercover cop sitting in the undercover cop car.
But that dumb part wouldn't happen if the first dumb part didn't happen, which was the cops arresting this dude for a light violation. I have to look more into this light violation thing, because something about that seems fishy. You know, in Florida, you don't know all the meth and alligator wrestling they have going on. You want to harass this guy about his light?
All the Florida man stories and all the Florida women stories. Here's another one. Well, this Dugray character was arrested. Remember, just a few minutes ago, this guy was enjoying a nice Florida night on his bicycle. And after all of this, he was arrested on charges of carrying a concealed firearm, resisting arrest, fleeing police, tampering with evidence. Bail was initially set at $135,000.
Yeah,
and on top of all that, Coleman, he also faces charges of violating his probation. He was on probation on charges of burglary and grand theft auto. So that's why he didn't want the cop to stop him when he was on the bicycle, because he knew he was already in violation of his probation.
I guess the police just lucked up with that one.
Well, the Florida man who tried to carjack an undercover cop is the dumbest thing I read all morning. Hey, coming up next on the show, some people in Westwego over there on the West Bank, they just voted to keep a chemical company from opening up there. They don't want another chemical, and this is a Chinese chemical company.
And do they just not want another chemical company over there, or does this coronavirus have anything to do with it? We'll tell you about that vote coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Jessica Simpson is back in the spotlight. She took a few years off of this, out of the spotlight, has had a couple of kids and is raising them. But Jessica Simpson is kicking off her book tour next Tuesday in New York City. Jessica Simpson wrote a book. Jessica Simpson. And next week she kicks off her book tour. She's very excited because this will be the very first time she's ever been in a bookstore. So she's fired up about that. But go figure. How about that? She's back in action. And yesterday, last night, the Westwego City Council voted against a chemical company, the Wanhua Chemical Company. And a shocking turn of events, the Westwego City Council passed a motion to stop a Chinese chemical plant from locating in Westwego. Last night, there was a public meeting. And at this meeting was supposed to be, by design, just a public hearing. The council wasn't supposed to vote on anything. However, after more than an hour's worth of testimony from the company representative and further questioning from both Westwego City Council members and the general public, one of the councilmen there interrupted proceedings to volunteer a motion to vote. And they voted saying, hell no, we don't want this Chinese chemical plant coming to our city. I wonder if that has anything to do with the coronavirus that's going on.
Nah, that's just Westwego being Westwego.
You think that's what it is?
They have their own little world over there.
Yeah, well, you live in Marrero.
That's why I hate Westwego. Yeah, right? We bump heads a lot.
You got some issues over there, huh?
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. There's a sport that's been around for a little while, but it's becoming popular around here. It's called pickleball. Have you ever heard of it?
Never.
As a matter of fact, in Mandeville, at Pelican Park in Mandeville, there are 8 new pickleball courts that have been put there, that have been built there. Pickleball is a combination of tennis, badminton, and ping pong. And they say that people who used to like to play tennis, but they might be getting older or their knees might be hurting, this is good for them because they don't have as much ground to cover. The courts are smaller. But you're basically, you have a racket in your hand. The racket is bigger than a ping pong racket, but smaller than a tennis racket.
Is it a net or wood? Like, is it a wood racket like a ping pong paddle, or is it like got the net like a tennis ball and badminton paddle?
I'm looking at it. It's hard to tell. But you play with a plastic ball. And it looks like tennis because there's a net and you hit it over the net and then the other person hits it back. They say the game is becoming more and more popular. And some people thought that this is great for older people because, like I said, if you used to like to run around and play tennis, but maybe your knees are bothering you, your legs are bothering you, and it's good because it's a lot like tennis, but you don't cover nearly as much ground because the courts are smaller. But they say younger people are playing this game now. And besides the 8 new pickleball courts in Pelican Park in Mandeville, they've been playing on the South Shore as well. It looks like a pretty fun game.
So the kids that weren't good enough to play real tennis, they had to downgrade and play pickleball.
I don't know if that's the case, Coleman, or if it's just the game started in Washington State in the 1960s, and it slowly has grown, and now it's become popular. It's becoming more popular around here, and if you're looking for something new, or you like to try to stay in shape, or you're competitive, you like to get those competitive juices going, Can I recommend pickleball? It looks like something I'd go and play.
Yeah, we'd give it a shot.
And they have, I mean, the game's getting big now. They have the United States Pickleball Association. It'd be the USPA. Interesting stuff. And that's going to do it for our show this morning. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty. Music Notes at noon. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.